So today we're going to talk about rightly relating to others. And I thought about naming it, "What is that smell?" But, and you'll find out why as we get on to the service. Maybe the part one is, "What is that smell?" Because we've been reading through Hebrews, and we've been going through Hebrews, and we're back in Hebrews again. We take a little week off and maybe do some other things. But then we get back in there. We're on Hebrews chapter 13 now. Hebrews chapters 1 through 12 has a lot to do with our vertical relationships. What is our relationship to God the Father? Much of what takes place in those chapters is encouraging us. Sometimes there's warnings. There's been like five major warnings in Hebrews chapters 1 through 12. There's also, you know, the questions, are you walking in the Spirit? How's your prayer life? What is your connection with others? Today, we're going to begin, and he gives one chapter to our horizontal relationships. 12 chapters to our vertical relationship, one chapter to our horizontal relationships. But it's like rapid fire, boom, 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 boom. If you read Hebrews chapter 13, man, it just goes from one to the other, to the other, to the other. How's your relationship with your church family? How's your relationship to strangers? How's your relationship to unlovable people? How are your relationship with money? How's your relationship with God? How's relationship? And it keeps on going about relationships, relationship, relationship. Relationship. I don't know how far we'll get today. We might get through verse 1. Because there's, like I said, it's rapid fire and he doesn't really expound upon it, but that's left up for me to do that. Okay? So Hebrews chapter 13, we're going to read verses 1 and 2. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. We're just going to do 1 and 2. So read with me. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. You may be seated. You may be seated. So the first admonition that we have in this passage of Scripture is that we are to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Love your brothers and sisters in Christ. There was a young girl, Mary, who had having a tough day as she stretched herself out on the couch to do a bit of what she thought would be well-deserved complaining and self-pitying. She moaned to her mom and her younger brother, "Nobody loves me. The whole world hates me." And her brother, busily occupied playing a game, hardly looked up at her and passed on this encouraging word, "That's not true, Mary. Some people don't even know you." We're instructed to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I'm not going to ask you how many of you have trouble loving some of your brothers and sisters in Christ. But we are instructed to do so. And here's the deal. Did you know that when you received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that you were adopted into His family? Every single one of you were adopted into His family. In Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 9, and Ephesians chapter 1 talks about that adoption. Every one of you, if you've received Christ as your Savior, you were adopted into His family. You've taken on the name of Christ when you were adopted into His family. But there's more than that, because Scripture says, in John chapter 3 that you were born again, which basically means that you're not born just of the flesh, but you're born of the Spirit, which means that the DNA of God abides in you. My DNA comes from N.H. Smith and Murdy Mae Smith. Naughty Henry and Murdy Mae. And my DNA comes from them. I was born to my mom and dad whenever in 1957. I'm a part of their DNA. However, in 1970 sometime, I was born into the family of God. And I received the DNA of God in my life. If you have received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the DNA of God is a part of you. And Scripture implores us that we must love one another. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. We used to sing a song, they will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. When I was a teenager, we would sing that song, but I had no concept, no idea what I was singing. Because I did not know Christ's love. It was not until I was about 22 years old that I understood the gift that God had given me, and I received Christ as my Savior. And so I had no concept. I would sing this song. I went to church. My dad was a preacher, and so every church service there was, I went and many times would sing this song. They will know we are Christians by our love. But it just kind of went over my head. I was not a real loving dude. I love myself. I love myself a lot. But I don't think that counts. What he's talking about here is that we need to love one another. And that word in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1, that talks about that we're to love one another, that word love is, have you ever heard the word Philadelphia? Do you know what it means? It means brotherly love. What it means. It's a compound word. It actually comes from the Greek word. It's a Greek word, Philadelphia. And it's a compound word, and the first part of that word, philia, means deep-seated affection. Deep-seated love and affection and care for another individual. The second part of that word is adelphos, in which that means from the same womb. From the same womb. And so that whole phrase, love your brothers and sisters, actually is one word. And so Scripture is teaching us, God is telling us that we must love one another. And not only does it say we must love one another, but it says don't stop loving one another. Don't stop loving one another. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, don't stop loving me. Say it again. Don't stop loving me. Say it like you mean it. Don't stop loving me. Yes, ma'am, I won't stop loving you. And now I want you to turn to your neighbor and I want you to tell them, I will not stop loving you. I will not stop loving you. And I will not stop loving you. Jeff, I won't stop loving you. Thank you. Larry, I won't stop loving you. No matter how hard it gets. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I will not stop loving you. Had the one of the best compliments I've had in a long time this week. Somebody said to me, I don't see you as my pastor. I see you as my friend. And I thought, man, that is awesome. That is awesome. Sometimes we tell people, I love you, and it really doesn't mean a lot. There's no heart in it. But when you look at your brothers and sisters in Christ, there needs to be heart in it. When we went to this leadership conference this last weekend, it was a Church of Christ leadership conference. I don't know if they knew we were not Church of Christ or not. I don't know that we told them. But I thought, Tamara actually was aware of this, and so she submitted a registration. They received our registration, and we went. And did you know that the Church of Christ has a lot of loving people in their church? Did you know that? And one of the things that Cynthia said, what did you notice about this conference? And she said, you know, even though we were doing all of this Bible Bowl, and there were how many kids there? 170-something kids. But they weren't competing with one another. They were just trying to learn Scripture and trying to do their best. We didn't really get to integrate with them this time that we went, but I believe we're planning on trying to do something next time. Oh, you got Jolly Ranchers from some of them. That's brotherly love. Yeah, especially a teenager to share their Jolly Ranchers. Yeah, we started. What time did we start? 5:30? And by about 9 o'clock, they were wore out. I was wore out. But there was such a loving atmosphere among the Church of Christ and amongst ourselves. It was a joy to be there. And I want you to know this, that you have brothers and sisters in Christ that not only go to this church, but you have them everywhere. And I don't believe that this book of Hebrews and the author is just saying, love your brothers and sisters at Life Change. I don't think that's what he's saying. As a matter of fact, I know that's not what he's saying, or he would have said it. Okay? He wants to extend our love to others. Outside our own little congregation, outside our own little denomination, he wants to extend our love to every child of God. That's his admonition to us. There's a passage of Scripture in Psalm chapter 133. It's become one of my favorite psalms, and it has to do with unity. It says, how wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head that ran down on his beard unto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion, and there the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life everlasting. I want to come back to that in just a minute. Well, no, I'll do it now. That last part of that scripture says that the Lord has proclaimed or commanded his blessings upon a group of people who have unity and harmony, and that blessing is life forevermore. And here's what I, according to this passage of scripture, and because I've experienced it in this congregation, when we have unity, when we have harmony, you cannot stop the blessings of God from coming upon you. It's impossible, it's impossible, it's impossible. And here's what I've discovered about this group of people. Did you know that there's sometimes that there's a little angst between individuals? Have you discovered that? Even sometimes in this congregation, there's a little a rub against one another. But when that happens, it's as if they get it worked out. And they just move along like they're the best friends in the world. Isn't that neat? Isn't that neat? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It's not. It doesn't say you're not going to have some problems. That's not what it's saying. And it doesn't say that you have to agree with everything I say, though I hope you do. But what it says is you're going to love each other regardless of differences. You're going to love each other. Regardless of differences. Now, I was trying to figure this out about how wonderful and pleasant it is for brothers to live together in harmony. It's like the precious oil running down on Aaron's head and on his beard and on his robes and on his shoes and on the ground. And I'm thinking, man, I don't know how great that would be. Right? If you've got oil running all over you, I don't know how wonderful that would be. But then I thought, well, I wonder what that oil is made of. So, in Exodus chapter 30, verses 23 through 30, and we've skipped a few verses, it says, take for yourself the finest spices, 12.5 pounds of liquid myrrh, half as much, 6.25 pounds of fragrant cinnamon, 6.25 pounds of fragrant cane, 12.5 pounds of cassia, which is also a cinnamon type plant, 1 gallon of olive oil, and prepare from these a holy anointing oil, a scented blend, the work of a perfumer. It will be holy anointing oil. Anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them to serve me. So when Aaron was anointed and he came near you, what kind of fragrance do you think he would put off? I think it would probably be the most aromatic fragrance you could ever imagine. Most expensive oils, definitely. And so you could probably smell Aaron coming before you saw him. So here's what, and so it says that perfume that was upon Aaron is like the harmony and the unity that brothers and sisters have for one another. So I want to know, what kind of fragrance do you give off? What kind of fragrance do we give off? So we're not done yet, but on your card, the first question says, I will memorize and put into practice John 13, 34, and 35. That's the one about, this is a commandment I'm giving unto you. That you should love one another as I have loved you. But the second question is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how well do we as a church give off the fragrance of Christ? Whether you are visiting or whether you are new here, and you don't even have to sign it if you don't want to, but I want to know what, from your opinion, how well are we doing in this matter? Because this matters a whole lot to Jesus. It's very important to Him. Then, if we're not doing so well, I want to know what we can do to make it better. Okay? So that's on this card. The passage of Scripture says that it's like the oil flowing down upon Aaron's head and then upon his beard and upon his robes. But it's also get back to it. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. There the Lord has pronounced His blessings, even life, forevermore. So let me tell you a little about how much do you know about Mount Hermon? Mount Hermon was to the north of Israel, and is to the north of Israel. There's three peaks. And there are seasonal winter and spring snowfalls. It's only 2,000 feet shorter than Mount Hood. So it's snow-capped most of the year. And so throughout the driest times of Israel, in the hottest times of Israel, there's a wind that blows from the north, blows over those snow-capped peaks, and blows down into Israel, which then is a very refreshing, like air conditioning. And people are refreshed by the wind that blows off this mountain. It brings life to the area. Harmony, unity, love for one another brings life. There's a refreshing that takes place when that happens within a body. And God said that when that happens, I command my blessings, life forevermore, and you cannot stop it unless you quit living in harmony, unless you quit living in unity, then God's blessings are going to be upon you. I'll just share this with you. If that's not, if there's family problems and you're not living in harmony, unity, you're stopping the flow of blessings upon your family. Okay? So now some personal questions. You don't have to answer this out loud. How easy are you offended? How quick is your temper? How long do you hold on to grudges? What kind of aroma are you giving off? That stinks. That stinks. S- So, are you contributing to the aromatic fragrance of Jesus Christ? Or are you putting off an aroma that's not healthy for the body? I can't speak for you. But for me, I think I can do better. I think I can do better. I think we'll stop there. I think that's a good place to stop. You know, I want God's best for you. If there are some areas in your life that you just feel like, man, somebody has offended me and I can't get past it. Somebody has wounded me and I've carried this wound for years. It's hard. No. It's impossible to continue to contain that without it hurting somebody else. Jesus said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. Sometimes we give off a horrible fragrance because of the pain that we carry. The hurt that has been dealt us. We don't want to be that way. We don't want to hurt the ones we love, but we continue to fall in the same pattern over and over and over and over and over because of the pain that we carry. Jesus said, I came to heal you. I came to heal your broken heart. I came to heal your emotions. I came to heal you because I love you. And He wants you to be able to love like you want to. None of us want to be mean and cruel. Obstinate, crazy. None of us want to be that way. But sometimes we act that way because of what we're carrying inside. Jesus said, I came to heal you. I came to heal the brokenhearted. I told you earlier when I was 22 years old, it's the first time I experienced the love of Christ. And perhaps this morning you're carrying some of that because you've never experienced the love of Christ. Did you know I can't exude the love of Christ until I've experienced it? Did you know that? Can't do it. And if you've never experienced the love of Christ, then you're not going to be able to live that. Jesus died to take away your sins. He died to heal you. He died to allow you to be able to become like Him in love and in a lot of other areas. That's why He died. This morning, you may have to die to yourself in order to be able to experience what God has for you. There may be some things that the Lord is saying, I can't live through you until you lay this down. You can't love like Christ unless Christ is in you. It's impossible. It's impossible. So this morning, perhaps there's some decisions you need to make. Perhaps you need to make a commitment to follow Jesus Christ. You need to be born again. You need God's DNA in your life. Father, I come before you today. You're so good to us. God, teach us to love like you. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in my life and what you're doing in this congregation. Lord, I know I can do better. So, Lord, I'm asking you to work through me, and Lord, that you would love through me. Lord, if there's anyone here today who does not know you as the personal Lord and Savior, I ask that today they would not leave this place without embracing you. Thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.